Lord, I don't know the spiritual condition of this family. They seem to know you, and I know they're hanging on to you and your promises right now. And God, I pray that they would sense that and feel that in ways that they never have before. Comfort them and strengthen them. Help them to trust again what your word says. Help them to trust who you are, even in the uncertainties of why things like this happened and just the hurt that they feel. I pray that the gospel, Lord, would be known to many, that people would look to you for their hope and for their answers. And so I just want to commit the Miller family to you tonight and in the days ahead, that they would, again, know you and feel your comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, we've been going through the attributes of God on Sunday nights. My job tonight is to talk about the immutability of God. That sounds like a really, really, really big theological word that perhaps a very smart theologian might try to use, I don't know, to maybe talk over everybody's heads. I don't know. I'm not that smart of a theologian to talk over anybody's head. And the reality is this isn't really very difficult to understand, because the immutability of God is a fancy way of speaking of God's unchangeability. God is unchanging in his character, in his purposes, and in his promises. The Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it this way: God is a spirit whose being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth are infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. So let me give you a number of passages, actually, and I think they speak for themselves. Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Of old you lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. As it relates to his promises, Psalm 33, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed and I will do it. I was thinking, you know, we've been going through, especially the first four chapters of the book of Matthew, and Matthew spends really a lot of time highlighting Old Testament prophecies that were made about Jesus and, of course, the fulfillment of Jesus' coming as a reminder that God doesn't change his mind. So the things that God planned hundreds of years prior, he fulfilled them. He didn't decide, well, you know, I think I'd rather do it this other way. God never did that. And I think we see example after example of that throughout the scriptures. Once God has promised something, he will not or cannot, because of his immutability, be unfaithful to that promise. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will not fulfill it? Okay, the rhetorical questions with the obvious answer, of course not. And so God is unchangeable. Now, sometimes people think if God is unchangeable, then is he just indifferent? Is he apathetic? Is he incapable of feeling or expressing emotion? Is he just kind of like this robot that kind of does this if this happens and that if that happens? No, not at all. God is a God of love and compassion and mercy. God is a very personal God as he relates to all of us individually. Those attributes are also immutable. They're unchangeable. The Bible also says that he is grieved over sin, that he rejoices over his people, that he pities his children. God is also a God of anger and justice. Okay, and so all of those attributes fall under the umbrella of his unchangeable character. He's perfect in all of those ways, and those ways don't change. So I think, at least intellectually, it's not difficult to understand from what the Bible tells us that God does not change. I think the difficulty comes in as we try to relate as human beings to that particular attribute, because we're so used to changing, right? Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad. But there's never a perfect balance in our character like there is with God, and so we change because why? Well, because our circumstances have changed, or we change, you know, why we're going to do something because of how we feel about something or our emotions or whatever it may be. I may plan tonight that I am going to go running in the morning, but I wake up and it's 20 degrees and it's snowing and it's blowing 25 miles an hour, and I'm thinking, I don't feel like going running today, you know? But we do that with all kinds of things that are even more serious. Sometimes we promise that we're going to do something and we don't follow through with that promise, but that's often the nature of our own struggles. But God is infinitely unchangeable in his attributes. God is not less of something one day and then more of something another day. Maybe the hardest part of this is that because we change, and I guess I'm relating this to in the fact that sometimes we change in the wrong way or in a sinful way, we have tendencies to default in our thinking that God would also change in how he feels about certain things. And I think one of the biggest examples that I would use for that is how we think he feels about me, or whether or not God really loves me the same today as he did yesterday, based on perhaps my performance or what I've done or haven't done. And so many struggle, I think, with the perception that God feels the same way about us all the time. But that's not who God is. Thankfully, that's not who God is. That's why we often run to a passage like Romans chapter 8. I think probably a favorite passage for many of us as believers, you know. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, that's a promise, because sometimes it feels like we might feel condemned. We may not feel worthy, even as a believer. And of course, as you get to the end of the chapter, the declaration of God's love for us and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's because God is unchangeable. And so this attribute of immutability really encompasses all other attributes. The character of God doesn't change. Therefore, this attribute is one that we must always anchor our faith in regularly, because our feelings do change and our feelings try to convince us otherwise of who God is. So this is a really important attribute, I think, to consider. Now, I think one of the things that comes up in this particular attribute is, but wait a second, don't we see examples in the Bible of how God changed his mind? Let me just give you a few examples. God relented on bringing judgment on his people because of the prayers of his people. So, for example, Moses' intervention with prayer to prevent what seemed like an imminent destruction of the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 32. We also know that God added 15 years to King Hezekiah's life when God said he was going to die, and Hezekiah prayed and humbled himself before the Lord, and God gave him more years to live, Isaiah chapter 38. We know that he held off destroying Nineveh because Nineveh repented, even though God said, Jonah, you go tell those guys they're going to get destroyed in 40 days. And there's other examples too. God saying that he was sorry that he made Saul king of Israel in 1 Samuel. And so sometimes those kind of confuse us a little bit. It may appear to be a contradiction to his attribute of immutability, but it is actually not. It may appear God changes his mind because God has changed in his actions towards something. But those situations are man's way of describing God's sorrow or his pleasure or his displeasure or his response having to do with our choices, but they're still under God achieving his good purposes. They're still reflecting God's eternal purposes. If you think about it this way, if God changed his mind, it would mean that he didn't know something in advance. Okay, that would mean that God is not omniscient. Actually, that's called open theism, and there's people out there, theologians out there, that actually believe that. But God knows all things. He knows all outcomes. He knows all responses. God does not go, oh, wow, how about that? How about that response? I didn't anticipate that. That's not the way God functions. So there's not some part A that, well, this is kind of the best plan, but that didn't really work out, so we're going to go with plan B. Now, I think if you want to look at it this way, there's perhaps a plan A part one and a plan A part two, and sometimes those plans take a little shift within the overall sovereign plan of God, but they're completely under God's providence. And so in that sense, God doesn't change. God's responses to all situations is entirely consistent with his character and because he does not waver. So just in summary, God never does anything that is inconsistent with his character. Okay, and we could kind of dive into that a lot more. But I preached a long time this morning, and I said I'm going to really cut it back tonight. Okay, but maybe we can come back to some of these things at another point. Let me close with application. If God is immutable or unchangeable, what does that mean for me as I go into a new week? How do I apply that truth of this attribute? I think there's a number of things. I just kind of want to mention two, and then I'll close with a quote. First of all, we can trust God in his word. If God is unchangeable, we can trust him, and we can trust his word. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Okay, so the character of God is seen in the word of God, and therefore we must anchor our lives in what God says, even though our circumstances change all the time. But we can have confidence in who he is and what he says. And then I think the other thing that we can apply is the fact that we can trust God and his faithfulness as well. And I reminded Mr. Miller tonight of that truth as I was thinking about it. Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. So let me finish with this quote, and it's given, it's a quote from Sam Storms. He's a pastor and a theologian and author. He says, what all this means, very simply, is that God is dependable. Our trust in him is therefore a confident trust, for we know that he will not, indeed cannot, change. His purposes are unfailing, his promises unassailable. It is because the God who promised us eternal life is immutable that we may rest assured that nothing, not trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword shall separate us from the love of God. It is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, not even powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Of course, that's the end of Romans 8, right? And it just kind of struck me, again, what Paul says in that last portion of Romans 8. He says, "For I am sure." Why? How could he be so sure? Because of the immutability of God. Because he knew his God didn't change. And that's how he makes this great declaration that continues to be such a comfort and something that consoles our own souls when we see circumstances change in our own lives. So let me pray, and then we'll continue. Father, thank you for your immutability. Thank you, God, that you're a God that doesn't change, even though so many things change in our life, and so often life seems so insecure, and yet we can find great security in the fact that you don't change and that your promises are always true. And Lord, the many things that have been prophesied that have not yet been fulfilled, we know those will become true and will be fulfilled because you are immutable. And so, God, help us to trust you perhaps even a little bit more this week as we're faced with various challenges and circumstances. Thank you for your word and thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we have a ministry update, right? And Dave Kramer is going to tell us a few things about our core classes.